Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. I'm Lon Woodbury, an independent educational consultant located in North Idaho. All the interviews in this series can be found at strugglingteens.com, along with 26 years of essays, visit reports, and press releases relating to the network of private parent choice residential schools and programs working with teens and young people making poor decisions. Today is January 15th, 2016, and we're going to talk about young adults and independence. My guest is Daryl Frazee. Daryl, good afternoon. Welcome.
Thanks, Lon. Thanks for having me.
The topic is the miracle of young adult independence, and I'm thinking I raised four kids, and when they were teenagers, I despaired of them ever being on their own. They turned out very, very well. It was a miracle, every one of them, all four of them. And so that's sort of the topic. Daryl is a co-founder and clinical director of Onward Transitions in Maine. It provides independent living service for young adults. And so talk about the mission of it and why it's so important. Why is it a miracle when young adults manage to be a mature and responsible?
Well, I love the term when you brought it up. I mean, I think if my parents were tuning in, they'd throw me into that group too. It's a miracle that I'm here talking with you today. But it's part of our mission, really, is to be part of that miracle. And really helping people with that final step before leading an autonomous life. We need a lot of support through our growth and development, and emerging adulthood is a time where we really want to do more and more on our own, but maybe we need a little bit of, you know, guided support as we take those steps. And that's our mission.
Yeah, my whole life I've been hearing that college students, 50% flunk out the first year. And I don't think that's changed, but it's pretty depressing. So I presume those kids that aren't ready for college are your clientele, the type of students that you can work best with. That would include kids on the spectrum, but not exclusively that, correct?
Yeah, that's all correct, for sure.
Okay, so what's the key thing? What happens... What do you provide a student when they first show up and move in?
Well, long before that happens, what we do through the admissions process is really work hard to make sure that they're a fit, you know, that they're ready for this type of living, because they are going to live in their own apartment. And that's something that all the folks who have gotten them to this point would have to be ready to support them with. Because very few of us, as we're entering into those 18, 19, 20, young 20s, you know, we don't have the financial independence to do those things. So working with those folks and past treaters is really important, because we have to know where those potential clients or members, as we call them, are at in that process. And so it begins with that, and then with forming an agreement. And that's something that that would take a little while to explain, but it's really kind of looking at some key areas. Would you like me to go into
greater
detail?
Yeah, what are those areas? And I think parents listening to this might be some tips of what they could consider when they're a young adult that they're despairing of ever growing up.
Well, I think that these are probably the real nuts and bolts kinds of things that most parents already know that they want to have taken care of for their kid as they're striking out on their own. And that's, you know, where you're going to live and what's that situation going to be like? You know, how are you going to care for the house and the bills and things like that? And where you're going to go to school, or what kind of training or education are you going to be involved in? What about work? You know, what are you doing to build your work life, your career, or your pre-career kind of skill set? You know, how are you going to take care of your health, physical, mental health? How are you going to care for that? And how are you going to balance all of this with the social life that you want to lead? Because for a lot of us, as we're entering into adulthood, that freedom that we experience creates a lot of conflict in the way we balance our time. So those are some of the nuts and bolts that I think all parents are probably wondering about. How can we help them manage this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, prime candidates would be perhaps somebody on the spectrum, or maybe high functioning Asperger's, or some kid that has problems executive functioning and trouble getting their act together. I presume some failure to launch kids, young people might be the type of kids. What are some other are those the ones that you're looking to help? And what are some others that might come to mind?
I would throw in there, Lon, folks who are really struggling with anxiety and depression. They've been able to kind of manage it to some degree, but not while at the same time managing all of the finer details of living as a young adult. So those things are really critical as we enter into forging this agreement, which is going to look at a lot of different elements in greater detail. And it's a lot of folks are probably familiar with the term of like a contract. If a kid is leaving treatment, they engage in writing a discharge contract or a discharge plan or something like that. This is a little bit more kind of like what we're doing right now, just having a discussion, but at the same time setting some future goals with some benchmarks. So if let's say on your agreement, part of it is the kid and their family really know that they want this kid to take four classes in school in the fall semester, say. And so our role is that we're going to enter into the agreement in being part of that. We're going to, or interdependently. And in a lot of those situations, some of the it's going to be appropriate. So, in the dependent category, this kid is going to take those four classes, but probably not pay for them. So I'm going to attend my four classes on a regular basis, and I'll let my folks know how I'm doing. That's kind of their independent role in that. And then the interdependent role would be like, I'm going to talk with Daryl about, my study time and how I'm using my study supports either at the school, outside of the school, and how I'm going to communicate all of that to my folks so that they know that their investment is really paying off because I'm taking advantage of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I'll try to put it into my own word. Well, the first step, and you do this in the admissions and the preliminary, is the kid suitable for going to college for independent living? If not, then maybe they need to go someplace, another route. And so you make that determination. And then there's a contract. And parents could do this with their kids too. They do it periodically, and there's some tricks to
Sure.
that to make sure it works. But you go through all these things that they're going to do it. One of the things is the social life there. Colleges can be party schools. I think all colleges tend to be party schools. And I heard a term, I presume you do something like this. I heard a term from another program, social bodyguards. You help the kids develop their contacts and in a responsible way. Is that part of what you do?
I think so. I think that you got to have a network, a neighborhood network of people that you can reach out to, in those tough situations. I can give you an example of a young adult that I was working with in my private practice. He got himself into a situation where he was wanting to get himself out of a really hairy situation where people were using a drug that was bigger than he'd ever been exposed to. And so, he was able to use his ability to get in touch with his roommates, with me, and with his mom to exit that situation, which, I think that that's probably the kind of bodyguard setting that you need. But you also got to make sure that you have, a network of friendships that are going to help you avoid those situations. And that's what we try to do here is you have a network of a peer group, a cohort group that you belong to, being part of Onward Transitions at our Pine House here in Portland. But also, you can strike out on your own and form other friendships and relationships. But if you get into that hairy situation, you get other people to fall back on.
Okay, so communication is an important part of it, and that means if it's with you, they've got to be communicating with you what's going on, and or if it's a parent, they have to communicate with the parents as to what's going on, and that's not the stereotypical college. Typically, at least this is the way it was described to me by my older brother. Well, a kid goes off to college, and their parents will be lucky to hear from him on Christmas. But with a kid that's having problems, executive functioning, Asperger's, or troubles getting their act together, that wouldn't work. There's got to be more communication. So that's a key thing that you do.
It's a really key thing in what we all do. And how I try to package that to people is like, you know, listen, we're like a practice run for your next really intimate social relationship. In fact, these are like good social skills to learn how to get that second date, because anybody can get the first one on. It's that second one that takes a real skill set. And, you know, people spend a lot of time nowadays communicating with other people, but when it really matters most, the people who matter most in our lives and who support us the most, sometimes, you know, we just lose track of them, you know, and there's no excuse for that. So practice that with us, you know, let us know what's going on. So that way it's easier for you to figure out, hey, you know what, I really should send just a text out to my dad today. Or, you know what, I haven't talked to my grandmother. I'm gonna call my grandmother, that kind of thing.
Okay, so you keep in touch with them. So how does it wrap up? Do they graduate from the school, or they're all going to college, I presume, or are some of them coming there and getting the support for work and not necessarily attending school? What's your focus on that?
Right, college isn't a requirement. What you have to do is you have to be preparing yourself in some capacity in terms of education. So if, let's say, what you really want to do is you want to work on cars, okay? You have known that you want to be an auto mechanic. Well, okay, fantastic. So let's work with you to find whether it's an entry-level job, some kind of you know, career exploration kind of program, or even, you know, taking courses through a community college that might not be for credit. They might be more adult continuing ed to really build your skill set. So we're embracing people from all, you know, all walks of life who are wanting to experiment with lots of different things as they enter into this period of their life.
Okay, then how does it when you determine they don't need this kind of support, active support, and to terminate the formal relationship, what criteria needs to be met to do that?
I think for that we would go back to the agreement and see where we stand in terms of what categories they're hitting on. You know, are they spending more time in the independent and interdependent categories as opposed to dependent? And, you know, in terms of their level of functioning, you know, are they comfortable where they're at? Is their family? And is the world at large? Because really that's what's going to determine it. You know, is your employer happy with you? Are the people in your relationships happy with you? You know, is the college happy with you? Are you experiencing enough forms of success that, you know, that we can begin to scale back and, you know, and hook you up with other folks who aren't maybe as intensely involved as we might be?
Well, we've just about ran out of time. Appreciate all that. It sounds very intriguing. Could you tell maybe a brief section of anything we haven't covered about Onward Transitions, and how, if somebody wanted more information or to talk to you about the issue or about Onward Transitions, how they would get a hold of you?
Well, all I can say is that I'd invite folks to, if you're really passionate about learning about young adults or emerging adults, I would say check out an organization called the Search Institute, and you can go to search-institute.com to learn more about them. They helped form our opinions and our program in a lot of ways. I would also say let's try to move away from the term failure to launch. I don't have an alternative term, but let's try to move away from that, just because I don't think anybody wants to be described as a failure. And then the final thing is, I would say if anyone wants to reach out to us and learn more about the program, just check out our website at onwardtransitions.com.
OK, Okay, www.onwardtranslations.com. Email, phone?
You can reach me at Darrell@onwardtransitions.com, D-A-R-R-E-L-L. And if you have specific questions, you can call our executive director directly, Tracy Bailey, at 207-712-1181.
Well, thank you very much. It's very interesting and very good. Thank you. This is Lon Woodbury, and with the Woodbury Report, been talking with Darrell Frazee about the miracle of young adult independence and how they tried to foster that there. Thank you very much, Darrell. This has been very good.
Thank you, Lon. Really appreciate it.